A new year is full of surprises, but one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services. So when postage goes up, your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com is like your own personal post office, wherever you are. You can even take care of orders on the go with the mobile app. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Schedule package pickups, automatically find the cheapest and fastest shipping options, and seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. There's even a supply store where you can stock up on mailing supplies, labels, even printers. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. All you need is a computer or phone and printer. Take a chunk out of your mailing and shipping costs this year with Stamps.com. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.
News Talk Breakfast.
In association with AIR. Seamless connections with Ireland's number one broadband provider.
Edwin Poots, of course, has resigned as DUP leader after an internal revolt over the restoration of the Stormont Assembly. And for more on this, I am joined now by Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney. Minister, extraordinary events on the political landscape in Northern Ireland over the last 36 hours. Give us your reaction to them.
Well, first of all, I mean, they're deeply destabilising for an executive and a government in Northern Ireland that needs the opposite to that. So, of course, we're all concerned. You know, yesterday morning, I and many other people were welcoming the fact that we had managed to find a way to protect the Assembly and the institutions of the Good Friday Agreement in Northern Ireland by the election of a new First Minister, as well as the reappointment of Michelle O'Neill as the Deputy First Minister. And the expectation was that we would have a plenary session of the North-South Ministerial Council today. All the Irish ministers would go up and we'd meet our new counterparts. And we were focusing on moving on from what had been a difficult and quite a disruptive period in terms of a change of leadership in the DUP. And then all of a sudden, what we thought was a positive outcome started to unravel yesterday when the officers within the DUP and their member and their elected members effectively revolted internally. Edwin Poots's position became untenable. And I mean, this is so unusual for the DUP because in their 50-year history, they've only ever had four leaders, you know, Ian Paisley, Peter Robinson, Arlene Foster, until last night, Edwin Poots. So, you know, leadership change isn't something that the DUP do often or easily. And so the fact that Edwin Poots has had only 21 days in the job really is a shock to politics in Northern Ireland. I think there's a whole series of reasons, by the way, why yesterday afternoon Edwin Poots got into real trouble. You know, I think it's partly linked to the way in which the leadership change happened 3 weeks ago when Arlene Foster had to step down.
That there was still rancor there. Can I ask you?
There was still rancor. Even the vote for Edwin Poots, you know, was only, I think, 19-17. So the party was really split down the middle.
Yeah.
Geoffrey Donaldson was the other candidate there. So, you know, we knew that Edwin had a real challenge to create stability within the party. And then, of course, the agreement with Brandon Lewis, which was the right thing to do, by the way. Brandon Lewis, in my view, acted appropriately
this days. This is what I wanted to get to with you. The politics of entrenchment in the North. Sinn Féin clearly dug in over the Irish Language Act and then, as unionists would see it, were given a concession by Brandon Lewis. Is the danger not now that the DUP will dig in looking for a similar concession to level that playing field over the Northern Ireland Protocol? And actually, that destabilisation that you say that you feared, you know, is coming, is only going to be accelerated because you give one to one party up there, the other side will always have their hand out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to say that this isn't just about Sinn Féin digging in on a specific issue. I mean, Sinn Féin have very strong views in relation to the need to follow through on commitments that were made 18 months ago in the last big agreement in Northern Ireland, which is called New Decade, New Approach, which was the basis of setting up the institutions again after 3 years of the inability to be able to do that. And, you know, I and the Irish government were in the middle of that. And, you know, we also wanted to see commitments followed through on. And a very important part of the New Decade, New Approach agreement was around language and culture, not just the Irish language, Ulster Scots as well. And
no, you know, no, I appreciate so, all of that. But I suppose what I'm saying is this: Sinn Féin dug in over the Irish language. The DUP would say that they feel equally strongly over the Northern Ireland protocol. Brexit has created a huge problem within the North for Northern Ireland unionism.
Where do we go from here?
What do you think is likely to happen next? Will we see Stormont collapse?
I mean, just to comment on that, because the impression has been given there that one party was digging in for something new. Like, the digging in here was simply to follow through on commitments that had already been made as part of an overall package and compromise for all the parties. So that's that was the
issue. But Sinn Féin, we're talking about not re-electing a deputy leader. You know what I mean?
No, I mean, I understand the point you're making, but just so that your listeners know, I mean, 15 years ago, the British government committed in an agreement with the Irish government and with parties in Northern Ireland to legislate to recognise the Irish language as part of Northern Ireland.
And I absolutely appreciate that. But what's going to happen now, in your view, to Northern Ireland politics? Right?
So, I mean, the honest answer is we don't know. We need to give the DUP some space. That's the first thing, rather than putting them under any more pressure. The DUP is a party that operates in a way that is quite, you know, separate from the public eye normally, and so we do need to give the leadership of the DUP space now to go through the process of electing a new leader, whether that involves a competition or a rallying behind one figure. We'll have to wait and see. I suspect they'll want to do that quickly because they won't want to leave this vacuum for very long. And of course, Northern Ireland needs them to do it quickly as well, because, you know, Northern Ireland faces many challenges from, you know, North-South cooperation, East-West cooperation, the protocol, coming out of the pandemic, rebuilding an economy. The last thing Northern Ireland needs now is an election in the short term. There's due to be an election next May, but there's a lot of work to do between now and then. We need to try to support a party like the DUP to actually re-elect a new leader, to stabilise their party, which is the largest party in Northern Ireland, so that we can get back to functioning with an executive that has a leadership that's stable and strong. And, you know, that is going to take some time, but I do expect them to move a lot quicker this time than, for example, it may have taken to manage Arlene Foster's departure.
And we shall wait and see what happens. Can I ask you one last brief question, Minister? With regard to the headlines across the newspapers today, young people being told to keep their lives on hold as the vaccine rollout slows. Is that a reasonable position to be taken, do you think, at this point?
Look, I heard your frustrations before you started interviewing me on this topic. I also have three daughters who've been impacted, like every young person has, by the pandemic. We all want to get back to normality. I can promise you one thing: we do not regard lockdowns as in any way normal or in any way healthy. But these are public health choices to try to keep people safe for the final lap of this challenge, if you like. And we need to continue to take the advice of people who are the public health experts in terms of making
even
decisions.
Even if our public health experts are somewhat of an outlier as compared to other public health experts dealing with the exact same circumstances?
Well, I'm not sure they are an outlier. We've just seen decisions in the UK to postpone for a number of weeks, the unwinding of lockdown restrictions, even in the last few days. And we're seeing other countries in the European Union also trying to do that. So we will open up as quickly as we can safely. I and others are more than aware of the pressures that that's putting on young people. But this is also about saving lives. The risk balance has changed. You're right about that. You know, our vulnerable population are by and large now vaccinated. But we do need to make sure that we don't let our guard down at the last minute and find that we have another wave to deal with.
Minister, thank you very much for speaking to us this morning on News Talk Breakfast. That is Simon Coveney, Minister for Foreign Affairs and Defence.
Every year, one thing is always predictable. Postage costs go up. Stamps.com gives you crazy discounts of up to 89% off USPS and UPS services, so your business will barely notice the change. Stamps.com has been indispensable for over 1 million businesses just like yours. It's like your own personal post office. No lines, no traffic, no waiting. Sign up with promo code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com code PROGRAM.